For over 2,000 years, Christians have faithfully gathered on the first day of every week, and we gather together because of what happened on this day. It was on this day that our teacher, Jesus of Nazareth, proved to be our Savior because He rose from the dead. And so today we gather. We gather as a community, as a family. We gather in the name of Jesus Christ to worship Him and to celebrate Him because of our joy and because He is our hope. Today's service is going to be a little different. We have arranged this morning for our service to totally center upon communion and upon remembering the sacrifice of Jesus and what He has done for us. We're going to focus our attention this morning exclusively on one verse from the Bible, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. That verse says that we should be in the business of looking to Jesus because He is the pioneer, the founder, and the finisher of our faith. And because of the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, but now He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And so this morning we're going to be thinking, we're going to be all together focusing our minds collectively this morning on the idea of looking to Jesus. And we look to Him especially through the memorial emblems that He left for us, the bread that represents His body, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood of the new covenant. And so this morning, we're going to look to Jesus. Worship. Just what is this thing? Worship is when we focus our attention upon God and we come together recognizing His presence. And in a spirit of joy and in a spirit of humility and reverence, we bow our spirits before His Spirit. And we focus our minds and we look to Jesus. We come here today to a place of worship from many different walks of life. We come here today, in fact, distracted by life. We look in so many different directions. If you're like me, just getting here this morning was a distraction. All of the things that we have to do to try to get here, to assemble together, and all the many things that come through our minds, even this morning and certainly throughout the week, it is easy for all of us to lose our focus. And so today we gather here. We gather here to refocus our spirits. That's one of the main reasons why we gather. In fact, in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, when it says looking to Jesus, the word looking here is a verb in the original text of the Bible that implies a definite looking away from others and directly casting your gaze upon Jesus. It is all about trying to not be distracted. When you look to Jesus, you look away from everything else in life and you look to Him. You cast your gaze upon Him. And who do we look to? We look to Jesus. Now, the Hebrew writer could have said, look to Christ. He could have said, look to the Son of God. He could have said, look to the Son of Man, but he didn't. He said, look to Jesus. What is Jesus? Jesus is the human name of our Savior. It emphasizes His humanity. He was one of us. He became flesh and blood. He knew temptation and trial. He knew all the experiences of what it is to live the human life. And yet He did it perfectly. So when we look to Jesus, who do we look to? We look to the perfect example of what it means to be human. When God first made His human children in the Garden of Eden, He made us perfect. He made us in His image to reflect His glory. Of course, we messed it up. But Jesus came and lived among us to show us what we were originally designed to be, what we were originally supposed to be, what we were made to be. And so when we worship, when we gather here today in Jesus' name and we look to Him, what we're doing is we're casting our gaze, we're refocusing our attention upon Jesus, the perfect example of what it means to be human. And we sit at His feet. We allow Him to be our teacher. We allow Him to be that perfect example. And I hope when we leave here today, we leave here inspired to imitate that example. Because after all, we look to Jesus. His name is Jesus. And His name is wonderful. And when we look upon Him, we consider what He did to bring us here today and what He did on that wonderful cross. And that's what we're going to sing about right now.
Cherish thee, O rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish thee, O rugged cross, it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
We come here today, each one of us, feeling our inadequacies, feeling our failures, feeling our struggles and our sin. We feel, as we come here today, our unworthiness, because we know we're sinners and we don't deserve to come before a pure, a holy, a righteous God. And so we do feel unworthy this morning, because we are. Religion, though, often deceives us into thinking that we can, by our performance, by our good works, by our behavior, somehow on that basis we can approach and come before a holy God. But the Scripture tells us that all of our righteous deeds are like dirty rags before God. We cannot approach God on the basis of our works or our moral performance. We fall short. On our best day, we fall short of the glorious presence of God. And so that is the very reason why we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus because He, as Hebrews 12:2 goes on to say, is the pioneer and the finisher of our faith. Now, your translation may say the founder and finisher. That word founder there can easily be translated pioneer. Because Jesus blazed the trail for our faith. He went where you and I cannot go. He lived perfectly. And He laid a foundation where we can all approach God. And so we do approach God here today, not on the basis of our records, but on the basis of His, as we look to Jesus. He is the finisher of our faith. He lived His life as a perfect demonstration of what it means to be faithful. He paid our ransom fully, 100%. And so today we come before God and we worship. We worship freely. We worship confidently. We worship boldly. We come before His throne in praise. We come before His glorious presence. We come before Him because we look to Jesus, the founder, the pioneer, the finisher of our faith. And we fully trust in that. It gives us confidence to come today, to come before Him, because we trust in His perfect faith. We trust in His finishing work. We trust that He did everything we need. He paid it all. And so we come today completely forsaking the tendency that religion places in us to try to trust in ourselves. And we lay all that aside. We cast all of that down. And we fully trust in the grace that Jesus provides, because He's the finisher, the founder of our faith. And we look to Him. And so today we come with confidence, a assembling in His name with our eyes cast above toward Him, because each one of us can say today that His grace reaches me.
Let's stand as we sing this beautiful hymn. We'll ask our young people who participate in children's worship ages 3 through 6 to exit the auditorium at this time.
Sinners like me, sent from the Father, and it thrills my soul just to feel and to know that His blood makes me whole. His grace reaches me, yes, His grace reaches me, and will last through eternity. Now I'm under His control, and I'm happy. Just to know that His grace reaches me. Higher than the mountains and brighter than the sea, it was offered in Calvary. Of treasures, and it's mine today. Though my sins were scarlet, He has washed them away. His grace reaches me, yes, His grace and will last through eternity. Now I'm under His control, and I'm happy in my soul just to know His grace reaches me.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please bow with me this morning as we go to our Heavenly Father? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You on this beautiful first day of the week. Father, another beautiful first day that You so many provided us with over the past many, many years. Father, we come to You now thanking You for all the many blessings that You've given us. Thanking You for Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, who lived amongst men, who shared many lessons with us, Father, and then ultimately paid the dear price of dying on the cross for our salvation. Father, we thank You for giving Your Son, Christ, up for us and for our sins. Father, I now want to bring three names before You, three individuals in this congregation that are going through some medical health issues, Father. Donna Dunbar, Waylon Wilson, and Herb Bird, Father, as they go through some medical issues, we just ask that the doctors and those individuals that look after them, that they'll do the best they can, Father, that You'll comfort them and return them to Your families just as soon as possible and see to it that everything comes out all right. Father, I also want to thank you for all the many programs that this church is able to provide, that the elders oversee, the Stepping Stones program and all the many classes and the teachers that fulfill those positions. Father, we just very thankful that we have those to offer this congregation. Father, also be with the elders as they shepherd over this flock. Father, we know that's not an easy job, that many hours and time is spent and consuming, making decisions and going over budgets, planning out things that are going to happen in the future. Father, we just ask that you continue to give these men the passion, the desire, and the commitment to fulfill that position that they volunteer for. Father, we also want to take time to remember all the shut-ins of this congregation, those that desire to be here this morning, that for some reason, Father, are just not here. Father, be with those as they are missed as we are here today. Father, I also lastly want to bring up two individuals' names whose names are synonymous with the mission field. It's Lee Allen and Tom Langley. Father, they do such great work in the mission field. They give up a lot, Father, with all the travel being gone from their families. Father, just ask that you continue to give them the passion, the desire, and the motivation to continue in that work and fulfilling the Great Commission. Father, go with us now. Let us listen to the words of looking to Jesus that Jonathan has brought to us and realize it's not looking for Jesus. Father, you have always been there. You'll always be there. And that regardless of how the times that we go through sometimes are troubling times, that times that we shy away from you, but to realize, Father, that we're looking to Jesus and not for you, that you'll always be there for us. Go with us now as we continue this service. For this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
We also come here today because of the powerful reality of what Jesus did for us. When we look to Jesus, we're inspired and we're transformed because of the unimaginable sacrifice of his life and because of how he laid it down for each one of us. Jesus endured the cross. As we continue reading here in Hebrews 12:2, it says he endured the cross, despising the shame. Well, what was the cross that he endured? Well, the cross in the first century world was a heinous and barbaric form of torture and execution. The human body of Jesus our Lord endured the excruciating physical pain of being nailed to and hanging from a Roman crucifix. But what else was the cross? It was also a place of public humiliation and shame. Because in that day and time, criminals were crucified, and they were crucified on the public roadways so that those that walked by would see these people dying and see their bodies hanging from those crosses as a preventative example that was communicated to the citizens of the land. Here is what Rome does to criminals. And so as Jesus hung on the cross, people passed by and they hurled their insults at him and they shook their heads in disgust because they knew what the cross and someone hanging on it represented. But what was the cross? It was a place of the curse. The law of Moses had stated, anyone who is hung is cursed in the sight of God, Deuteronomy 21:23. Well, why would the law of Moses say anybody who dies by hanging is cursed by God? I think the reason being is because only criminals were executed that way. And so if someone was dying by being hung, it represented that they were a criminal that had unrepented sin. And that person of unrepented sin is cursed by God. But Jesus, although he hung with thieves and criminals, Jesus himself was sinless. He himself was the pure Lamb of God. And that's what Paul talks about in Galatians 3, in verse 13, when he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us, as it is written, everyone who is hung on a tree is cursed by God. So what Jesus did there on that wondrous cross, as we look to Him and as we look to Him hanging on that wondrous cross, as we survey its scene, we see Jesus there, the pure Lamb of God, the guiltless one, hanging there, taking on all of your guilt and mine. He despised that shame. In fact, He dreaded the prospect of going there, wishing that the cup could pass from Him. But He endured it. Why would He endure it? Because of the joy that was before Him. And you need to know this morning that the joy before Him was you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this point in our worship, we ask that You would help us to let go of the things of the world. Give us good understanding, Father, of the significance of this supper that was set in place by Jesus to help us remember His sacrifice. Help us, Father, to be willing to endure the trials and temptations that come our way for the joy that's set before us through Jesus if we continue steadfastly. Now we ask You that as each Christian partakes of this bread, that we will remember the body of Christ. And remember His willingness to sacrifice Himself for our sins, Father. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
His entire life, the cross, was before Him. His entire life, in fact, all of human history had led to the climactic event that would take place on that hill far away. The sacrifice of God for the salvation of His precious human children would occur outside the walls of Jerusalem that day. His entire life, it was the cross that was set before Jesus. Everything had led to it. And yet it was for the joy that was set before Him, as Hebrews 12:2 says, that Jesus despised the shame of what the cross represented. He endured the physical, the emotional, the psychological, and the spiritual pain that it brought. Why? Why would He endure it? Because He knew what the cross would accomplish. And what it would accomplish would make it all worth it. What the cross would accomplish was the object of His joy. The possibility of a joyful completion of His mission was His passion. It was what fueled His life. It was the catalyst of His ministry. It was the anticipation that drove Him to surrender to it willingly. Jesus would say, No one takes my life from me, but I give it up of my own free will. Why would he do it? Because of the joy that is set before him. The joy of saving you made it all worth it. Jesus was willing to endure suffering in his life because he knew something joyful was found at the end of it. His death would mean life for you. His separation from God would mean union with God for you. His being forsaken means you're being accepted. His curse becomes your blessing. Why did he do it? Because of the joy that was set before him. And you are that joy.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we partake of this fruit of the vine that commemorates Christ's blood, help us to humble ourselves in your presence and partake of this cup knowing that Christ's shed blood was precious and that he did it willingly, Father. Help us to all partake worthily in Christ's name. Amen.
It is often darkest before the dawn. Jesus is dead. It seems all has been lost. The shadows of darkness have enveloped humanity. But then comes the dawn. Very early on the first day of the week, on Sunday, the light of God's power and presence bursts forth. And the angel's voice is heard. He is not here. He has risen. Death could not hold the creator of life. Darkness cannot overpower the source of all true light. Death did not have victory over him. But instead, he uses death as the means of his own victory. His death was the means of demonstrating the reality, the truthfulness of life after death. He blazed the trail, and he shows that there is hope extended to all the human race. And so now he reigns. All of his enemies are under his feet. All power and authority, both in heaven and on earth, are his. He is on his throne. He is enthroned. He is sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. And one day he will return. He will come in the clouds. He will come in power. He will come in victory. And every knee will bow. Every eye will look to Jesus in the clouds, and all of his children from all of the ages will forever look to him. We will see him face to face. The object of our longing will be fully known to us. And in those new heavens and new earth, all of creation will shout for all the unending ages, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world." That victory can be yours because of Him. You can know the freedom from your sin and your guilt. You come here today feeling perhaps the weight of your own sin and guilt. And I want you to know that this morning Jesus can take that away. All you have to do is give your life over to Him. If we can help you in that way, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you confess Him to be the Lord of your life, you choose to repent of the ways that you've been living your life and surrender fully to Him, be baptized into His death, you follow Him in His death, burial, and resurrection as you're buried with Christ in through baptism into His death, you're raised with Him to experience life, new life, as He did from the grave, new life can be yours. You can come and be a new person if you surrender to Jesus. If we can help you in your obedience to Christ, He offers you His grace, and all you have to do is come and freely receive it. If we can help you in your obedience, if we can have a personal Bible study with you where you can ask more questions and make sure that you understand completely what we're talking about to know the freedom of Christ, or perhaps you need prayer, we have shepherds of this flock that are here to pray with you and for you. We'll have one down front and some through those doors in the hallway. If you've got any need, we want to invite you to come to Christ as we all stand together as His children and as we sing praise to Him. Let's stand.